welcome to the Fordcast.
A Harrison Ford podcast where we watch all of Harrison Ford's movies so you don't have to.
Mm-hmm. That's what we do.
Or maybe you do. This movie is enjoyable. I think you might want to watch it. Or not.
I love Ricky and the Flash. I love it. Wow,
that was a Freudian slip. You've been watching that movie way too much, which all of us who follow you on social media know.
I love Age of Adeline.
So do you want to introduce our guest?
Oh, yeah. I never think to introduce her to anybody. Guys.
Wow. Because you don't have to, is why.
No, if you follow me on Instagram, you probably know her. I annoy her in my stories.
Hey, guys. My name is Leah Thomas. I'm an entertainment writer. I cover TV for Bustle, other stuff. That's it. Rachel's eating Chinese food.
I was just going to say, I'm eating on mic. I'm hungry.
Yes, Rachel's usually eating or drinking or texting during the podcast. Where can they find your work usually, other than Bustle? Do you have a website?
No. No Squarespaces here.
I do have a Twitter.
I do post writing and jokes and...
And it is? The Twitter is?
Leah Marilla, which is my first and middle name. LEAHMARILLA.
Yay. She's not Italian. Don't let it confuse you.
No, now, I'm very Irish.
I have a question for you.
What's up?
I heard that you wanted to talk about this movie from the start of this podcast. We reserved a spot for you here.
Yes.
So 2 years later, we're finally here. I think that you should first say why you particularly wanted to talk about this movie.
Blake Lively's hair.
That's it? Mm-hmm. It is pretty fantastic.
No, I like this movie, and when else would I be able to talk about it? Is genuinely it.
But also Blake Lively's ponies.
But Blake Lively's ponytails and general aesthetic is... like a game changer for me.
Leah did ask me while we were watching this movie if she could rank Blake Lively's ponytails.
Sure.
I didn't do it. I brought up some screen caps just in case, but I didn't actually rank them.
Okay.
But I can reference them at various points.
I think that would be a delightful addition to the podcast.
They're great. And I have a theory about them. It's going to be great.
So this movie came out, say it correctly, Rachel, because I always say it wrong. What's the name of the movie?
Oh, Age of Adeline.
Thank you.
I forgot you say it like Adelaide or something.
Although I've been saying it right the last couple times, but I don't trust myself anymore.
I keep spelling it with A-D-E.
Well, I think Spellcheck wants to correct it as well.
I don't think that's a real name.
She incorrectly told me when I was trying to tweet about this
movie. Adeline is a name, but I think it's spelled...
It's A-D-A.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. It was released April 24th, 2015. We were almost through the
This is why I didn't watch that movie in 2015. I didn't watch the movie I was going to reference in 2015.
Oh, I actually saw this movie in the theater.
I did too.
And I had to yell at someone behind me who was talking through most of it.
That was like that guy when we saw The Greatest Showman.
I asked him several times to stop talking, and he continued to talk.
Did you get your money back?
No, I just finally turned around and I said, I am having a bad day, and I spent a lot of money for this movie. Stop talking.
See, I go and get my money back. I'm a sneaky little bitch. If someone's making my movie disruptive, I go and get my money back.
I'm now doing that from now on.
I did that when I saw The Mummy. I did that. What other movie? Oh, Manchester by the Sea. I did that in like some... Like, I just go and I'm like, excuse me, this person made my viewing experience unenjoyable. And they give me money
I'm now
back.
Doing that from now on. I'm going to say Rachel Leishman told me that I could come
well,
up here and get my
money
back.
Now, when I have movie pass, I don't do that. Because I'm like, that's a movie.
That's true. It was directed by Lee Tolan Krieger.
Oh, shit. I have my own paper. I was trying to read Leah's backwards.
No, you got your own. You want to talk about who wrote it?
Oh. Wait, can we talk about the director for a hot second, though?
Yeah, I was reading... I got sidetracked with Celeste and Jesse Forever and then Riverdale.
He directs Riverdale right now.
He did, and I just looked him up. He did the Sabrina pilot as well.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah,
Spooky that's one that's great. Season.
Spooky Sabrina.
Yeah, like one that's really based on the comic.
Mm-hmm. Whoa, 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 whoa. And Celeste and Jesse Forever. So this is a weird...
It's definitely... it's a weird mashup, but it works. But it doesn't... You wouldn't have guessed that these people worked on this film.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. I just read something that we're going to talk about that is my favorite tidbit about this movie. Oh. I had to tell it to her because she didn't know.
Well, first tell everybody who wrote it.
Oh, right. Reading. J. Mills Goodloe. Goodloe? Goodloe.
I think so. Yeah.
He did Lethal Weapon 4.
Exactly. So, again, a really odd mashup.
Oh, I know why you made me read these now, because this other name is insane.
Exactly.
And the other person who wrote this movie is Salvador Pasikakowicz, or Pasikowicz? What is RK? Is that part of it?
I copy and pasted it, so unless that's some sort of weird typo. It could be. It could be some weird
that's
typo.
That's what that man's name is going to be for the time
Great.
Being.
So that... Oh, did you find... What is it?
No, I don't have it in. Okay. But, like, this isn't an adaptation.
I know.
But it feels like it should be.
And I knew it wasn't, and I kept having to double check. I was like, this is not. I mean, yeah. I do appreciate... I mean, if we're going to go towards the movie. I enjoy that they made it seem like a novel. I liked the voiceover. Yeah. I was okay with
it. The voiceover was fine. I just wish instead of, like, making her watch a movie about her life, which made no sense, they were just like...
Wait. Okay. There's a thing, though. I think that the original newsreel was from her life. I think the rest was all in her head.
No, I totally... She was just watching stuff from the 1920s or whatever.
Yeah, but the first thing was her. I think the first thing was because she was the first baby born in that, you know, after the...
I just think that's... I think what they should have done is just, like... We talked about this, like... That movie should have just started with that story. Like, it could have been a voiceover. Like, it still could have been the voiceover and everything.
Yeah.
It just should have started with, like... Adeline, blah, 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 was the first baby born in the 1920s.
I think they wanted you to maybe at first not know what was happening, but everyone knows what the movie's about.
Sure. The, like, 20 people who signed about
it. So, would you like to do your summary? Your famous summary, Rachel?
Well, okay. Well, Age of Adeline is a movie about a woman who doesn't age, and they picked beautiful Blake Lively to never age. So, she gets in a car accident, and she's dead, basically. And then a lightning bolt hits her car in the lake, jolts her into life again, and that somehow makes her immortal.
Mm-hmm.
So, or not immortal, but she doesn't age. We don't know if she's
she
like...
She can scar.
Yeah, but...
Apparently.
Is she physically, like, old? Like, is she like, my bones crack, but I look 20?
I think it's a Benjamin Button thing.
No, Benjamin Button.
No, I don't mean literally Benjamin Button.
Benjamin Button was born old, got young.
I mean, but when he was young, it wasn't... When he was old, his whole body was young. Yeah. It wasn't like his insides were still
whatever.
Old.
It is not addressed in the movie. So, yeah, she can scar. But, so, she had a hard life before she died. But she has a daughter and a dead husband. So, her daughter keeps aging and poor Adeline's like, I look 20. So then she, like, won't fall in love with anybody, but she only falls in love with the men of this one specific family. And so the first is Harrison Ford, played by Anthony Engruber, who looks like Harrison Ford and does a Harrison Ford impression. And he, like, does the smirk and shit. It's creepy. I love him, and, like, part of me wanted him to be Han Solo, but also, like, it is a little weird listening to him to just imitate Harrison Ford.
It's really good. The first time he says her name, I always swear that it's actually Harrison Ford.
Yeah, it's a great impression. Yeah. I just think... He's a weird... Instead of, like... He looks like Harrison Ford, so he could have been a great Han Solo, but I think he's just so gung-ho. I'm like, I am imitating Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
That it failed him.
And he's not in this movie a lot.
No, he's just in, like, three flashbacks.
Yeah.
Not that...
But it changed his
not
career.
Not that being a non-actor is a thing.
No.
When you're talking about Harrison Ford.
You're really...
Hey, this is one of my favorite performances of his.
Yeah, because
he's
normal.
Lovely in it.
Yeah. But anyway...
I don't love his beard.
I love his goatee. Let his lip.
It works for the character, though.
It does.
It makes him feel like... It adds to the acting.
He's an elusive man who thinks Hades Comet's coming back.
Because it makes him really feel like another character. And very good. I mean,
Harrison Ford just has to change his face with a beard to be able to act.
By the way, that reminds me. That picture of him on Reddit is from this movie that kept going around that people said that he was saying he was, like, pro-Trump.
Yeah, my crazy...
People still believe it.
My crazy cousin did that. He sent it to me. I was like, you idiot, it's Photoshopped. And I sent him the actual picture. He just doesn't talk to me. Anyways.
Oh, yes.
So she falls in love with Anthony Engruber and or Harrison Ford, whatever you want to say. And so she sees that he's going to propose to her, and she's like, no. And so then she is like, I must be a celibate woman. And so she, like, makes friends with a...
She's totally celibate.
I say. So then she makes friends with a blind lady because the blind lady can't tell that she's young. And so they talk about their days in the old, good old days. And then, so it's still Blake Lively. So it's still like this beautiful blonde. And everyone's like, oh, it's surprising. No one recognizes this beautiful blonde girl. So then Harrison Ford's son, who's the guy from Orphan Black and Game of Thrones, waltzes up into this New Year's Eve party and like sweeps her off her feet because there's something in their water apparently. And so then they go back, they start dating. She's like, no! And then her daughter's like, you have to live your life. And so she dates the guy. And then he's like, all right, come on, I'm gonna make you meet my family. So she goes into this house, and then Harrison Ford's like, the fuck? And so they like, she's like trying to run away, and they're in the woods, and he sees her hand, and he's like, scar! And then it flashes back, and she like cut her hand open on a tree. And then he, like, helps stitch her hand. And so then Harrison Ford's, like, going crazy trying to find this picture of him and her. Which I'm like, his poor wife. And so then he's like...
Yeah, which she brings up. She's like, yeah, she's like, what's going on here?
So then the end of the movie, she is trying to run away. She does run away. She gets electrocuted again in a car. And that just resets everything. And so then she's like, aha, I'm going to love my life. And then she goes and looks in a mirror, and in the mirror, her hair...
later.
Yeah, her hair is gray, because she is now aging.
She's one gray.
She's one gray.
That's
hair.
That's how it works.
At 29. And I had to ask Leah, does that happen? Because I dye my hair, so I'll never know when my hair goes gray.
It does actually happen, yes.
Yeah. I was like, I don't know. I dye my hair.
It depends on your genetics.
And how stressed you are.
Oh, then I'm gray already.
Gray can also grow in other places.
This is true.
Oh, you know where I know that from? Ricky and the Flash.
This is true.
So the original star of this film was supposed to be Katherine Heigl.
Sure.
And then her daughter, who in this movie is played by Ellen Burstyn, was supposed to be Angela Lansbury.
Ooh.
So when Katherine Heigl no longer was involved, so was Angela Lansbury. Which is, I mean, I love Ellen Burstyn, but Angela Lansbury doesn't do a lot of film. That would have been nice.
Katherine Heigl? No, thank you.
No. Yeah. And then there was a report a year or so later that Natalie Portman was offered the lead, but Portman told Entertainment Weekly that she had declined the offer. I remember this. I remember that they were really trying to get a lead for this film. And then all of a sudden,
it was Blake.
Blake Lively.
Who can really wear anything.
No, she's really just on Gossip Girl.
She was on Gossip Girl. XOXO. Who am I? I'll never tell. Anyway.
Yes.
This is a sidebar that by the time this comes out, people are going to be like, I can't even find this tweet.
Oh. But
did you see where Emma tweeted about there was like the advertisement for a job that was like, we need a writer whose voice is sexy or classy, but also sexy. And I responded with, finally my time to be the Gossip Girl has come. And then all she sent me was a GIF of Carter Bazin. And I was like, yes, that is my muse. Anyways.
So let's talk about the film.
Yeah. My favorite tidbit about this movie is on our little papers.
Okay, talk about it. Glad I put it down.
It is that Blake Lively, like, so when she got this movie.
Oh, I love this story,
she was
too.
She knew who Harrison Ford was, but she had never really seen anything. So Ryan Reynolds was like, how have you never seen a Harrison Ford movie? So he made her watch all of the Indiana Jones movies. So she, like, the first day was, like, really cool. Like, Harrison Ford was like, oh, my God, like, yeah, like, you want to go on my plane and all this stuff? She came back and she, like, said she, like, something in her brain, like, snapped. And all she wanted to do was talk about Indiana Jones to him. And he, like, kind of was like, okay, cool. And, like,
Watch it, like, later? Like, did she, like, before they started filming or something?
No,
so
it was before. No, it was, they were filming.
Okay.
They had talked. They were, like, already, like, I think they had just filmed, like, a day or something. Okay. And she was talking to Ryan Reynolds. Yeah. And he was like, what do you mean? And, like, showed her Indiana Jones, and she like snapped and was like, watched all of them in a night and like was talking to him.
I love that she's like, I did not get invited back on the plane.
Yeah, she's like, no, like, I didn't have it. Because Harrison Ford's one of those people that like, you gotta play fucking dumb. Like, you need to be like, oh yeah, I think I've seen like Witness. Like, just play stupid with Harrison Ford.
He claims that when he met Calista Flockhart that she had no idea who he was. And I'm like, no, I think she knew who you were.
That's like the key to any celebrity. If you're just like, oh, I've seen you in something, and you're like nice to them, they'll be like, oh, right, yeah. But if you gotta play dumb, especially with him.
Yeah, that's why I always thought if If I ever dated someone famous, it would be some, like, obscure band. No, obscure. It would be from a famous band from the 90s when I didn't listen to modern music. And everyone will know who they are, and I'll be like, who are you? I'm sorry.
What is this?
I stayed in my room a lot in the 90s.
I was a baby.
Yes, we all know, Rachel.
LOL.
Yes.
But yeah, that's my favorite tidbit of Age of Adeline.
Do you have any favorite tidbits?
Me?
Mm-hmm.
I just really like these performances.
Are you looking at her hair?
Yeah.
I do too. And I think that's probably a testament to the direction.
Yeah.
And maybe some the emotional, there must be some emotional underpinnings, I think, for Harrison probably in the film. I mean, how could it not be for anyone at a certain age if you would think of the fact of someone that I was in love with in the 1960s all of a sudden just shows up out of nowhere. I mean, that's pretty emotional. The whole movie is very emotional to me.
You left out that originally Adeline tries to play it off like, oh, Adeline was my mother.
Yeah.
What a weird coincidence.
I look identical to my mother.
And then he sees the scar and he's like, no, this is actually her.
Yeah, which is a big conclusion to come to, but knowing her for a while, how can you not? Like, what else are you going to think? Like, how do you have the same scar as your mom?
No, but it's also one of those things where he, like, recognized her, but it's like, you have to also think there's no social media, there were no pictures, because they have that one picture together that he has to search for, because he's like, he, like, recognized her, but I think it was
a long time ago.
Yeah, and it was also 45 years or however
and
long
she doesn't allow herself to be photographed, and even in that one her hand's like covering her because like she doesn't want to be
so this movie could have very easily
I mean, there's that picture of her in the hotel in the 1940s, but so probably after a while she was like, oh, people are gonna maybe put it together.
Because the FBI was looking for her. I left that out, that the FBI was looking for her when she was an agent.
She snuck out through the trunk. The cinematography on this movie is gorgeous. It's just a well-put-together fairy tale, in a way, which is why I like the voiceover.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do like the voiceover. I just wish it wasn't, you know...
Well, here's the thing about the movie.
That set up in the beginning.
I really enjoyed it the first time, but I felt like it slowed in the middle. Watching it again, I liked it much better, but maybe because I knew it was coming. But the stuff between Harrison and Blake Lively is so compelling that I would have been happy if most of the movie was them.
Yeah, he shows up like a good hour.
It's the third act. He literally shows up in the third act of the movie.
Yeah,
because it's not his movie, which we've talked about. He's now the you know.
It's before. Adeline's.
Exactly. It's
Blake Lively.
It's the young people's movie,
and that dude from Game of Thrones.
But I just was sort of more invested in that relationship.
It's a testament to his acting too, because I always sort of noticed on Gossip Girl, I like Blake Lively a lot, but I'd noticed that, like, certain actors can get better performances out of her on, like, Leighton Meester, for example. I don't know whatever their deal is, but, like, their scenes were always better. Her scenes with other actors were always better. So, yeah.
No, I agree. And that's what people will say, is, like, if you were working with a great actor, your performance is better. And the same thing with a director. And I think Harrison, as well, works better that way. So the two of them were elevated by working with each other and probably by the director.
Yeah, definitely.
And I mean, he's so emotional, and he conveys so much on his face, and it's really one of the really more interesting performances I've ever seen him do. And it makes me sort of sad, because when I remember seeing this in the theater, I was like, oh yes, this is where Harrison Ford is going to go. He's going to become this sort of character actor who shows up in smaller parts in movies. And then Star Wars happened. And now he's just doing a farewell tour.
And Blade Runner happened.
Yeah.
And,
but I feel like Star Wars...
And then
Wars
Indiana Jones is going to happen.
But I feel like Star Wars... And listen, I love The Force Awakens, but it like started this sort of spark. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, we were now reboot, revival, crazy. Not that it isn't great for my brand. But...
Yeah, it's literally the movies that I liked growing up.
So, you know, I don't want to complain too much, but we are definitely in this sort of, you know, nostalgia overdrive right now, and I feel like Star Wars kind of started, I mean, it was sort of happening already, but the spark, at least for him,
the spark,
him,
what is that, sorry, you said what? The spark, and it instantly made me think of that fucking bougie as shit Poe Dameron quote. that he says, we are the spark
that will set the rebellion on.
That lights the fire.
Why is that bougie? Just, that's what I'm stuck on.
Not bougie. Bougie is the wrong word.
Do you mean it's trailer, not cheesy. Trailer soundbite.
Oh.
It's very trailery. Is that what you mean?
It's like, no, it's like a cheesy line. Like, it's like.
It's Star Wars. Really?
He plagiarized it from Laura Dern.
Yeah,
so.
Laura Dern did say it
first. From Space Dern.
Space
Star Dern. Star Wars.
Yes, yeah, that too.
Really?
Yeah.
Star Wars.
Listen, I know.
And you know I love me some Star Wars, but it's Star Wars.
I got damn a bad feeling lines. About this.
By the way, do you think that the actor playing his son looks a little bit like Adam Driver?
Yeah, they must think that Adam Driver was just destined to
well,
be
Well, the funny thing is, watching it the first time, I didn't think that guy looked anything like Harrison Ford. But now that we've gone through his life and I've seen such young pictures of him, I'm like, okay, I can see that he looks a little bit like the nose, the shape of the face. But yeah, no, they cast his sons very very interestingly. Very specifically. But yeah, he had an Adam Driver thing going on.
He does. Oh.
He's taller than Harrison.
Yeah, well, I guess they took the trend of, like, the next generation's taller.
And the clothes.
Although it happened to
By
me.
By the way, also the clothes in this movie
are
to die for.
That should That's give her I'm away saying. Within, like, 5 minutes.
No,
she's so smart
she's
about it.
Yeah.
She's, like, she's so smart about, like, combining new stuff and old stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And,
exactly.
Like, pin curling her hair, but not a lot. Adding, like, a fishtail braid.
Yeah, and, like, in the 60s...
You're obsessed with the fishtail braids.
But, like, good. And then, like, in the 60s, she has, like, the sort of frosted lip gloss. Mm-hmm. So, like, she's matching it, like, a little.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of people who have a lot of vintage clothes, and that's, like, their thing, you know?
You called her a manic pixie dream girl in, like,
well,
a interesting
sense. Kind of is.
But, like, not...
Not,
genuinely,
like, in the movie,
I was saying that, like, it's not surprising that this guy likes her
yeah.
in 2018 because she's like a manic pixie
yeah.
dream girl.
Not, like,
because,
in the movie. She was saying, like, her idea
but, like, she's
is.
Actually an old woman.
Yeah.
Oh,
because she's
see.
Like, I like
okay.
vintage stuff.
Like
she
what,
looks
that's what
like
he
that.
He would see is like, look at this quirky girl that's wearing all this vintage. But it's like, no,
you're falling in love with an old woman.
She's 80.
Yeah, I did.
That's like a weird thing to always
I think
about.
Think
like
of that stuff, particularly when he was in her apartment and she's like, very. That's one thing I really appreciated about what Blake Lively was doing, and I don't know her work that much, but so maybe this is what she does.
XOXO.
She was very reserved in the sense that
yeah.
I felt like she was older.
It's a fascinating, like, what
yeah.
what aspects of being elderly she chose.
Yeah, and seeing it on someone who's young, because it's not, because usually that's associated with, you know, maybe walking a little bit slower, like mm-hmm. Ellen Burstyn.
Well, that's funny, because that's not, that's why this is, I think, stands out for me as, like, a Blake Lively, because that's not normally what Blake Lively does.
That's my impression,
she's normally
yes, that's
like,
my thought.
Okay, like, in The Sister of the Traveling Pants, she's, like, the sporty, fun one, who's, like,
oh, wait, you know what, I have seen
And then
pants.
In Gossip Girl, like, Serena is, like,
yeah.
I love Serena. But then, what was the other one? Oh, I was going to make a joke about the Green Lantern movie, but I stopped myself.
Because there are times when she almost sounds like his mother.
Yeah, that's
She's
not
like,
a normal Blake
yeah,
Lively
no.
thing.
Or like the beginning when...
Another thing, boys.
When
you act like their mother.
Yeah, but she reprimands the kid because he had the baseballs and name
oh,
on it,
yeah.
you know, and she's like, I just wasted potential.
Yep.
It's I think it's a great, yeah, some really beautiful, Kathy Baker. I've loved Kathy Baker for so long. She plays the wife.
The wife, uh-huh.
Yeah, Harrison's wife. And it's also lovely to see him in a relationship with someone his own age.
Who was the daughter? I recognized the daughter and we looked
she
up the
looks
daughter.
She's like his real daughter, I think.
No, she's an actress and we looked
yeah,
her up and I can't remember what we found that she was in.
Let me see. Kiki, right?
Nope, she's,
Amanda
I remember.
Crew.
Yeah, I remember.
Crew.
She's in Silicon Valley. She's Monica.
Oh, okay.
I was like, because we looked it up. I was
she
like, we looked it up, and I couldn't figure out it was Silicon.
Ellen Burstyn is a legend.
Hell yeah.
If no one is familiar with her, she has been in Same Time Next Year on Broadway. She is a co-president of the Actors Studio. At least she was when I was there. I have loved her forever. She's amazing. And what I really appreciate about her performance in this is that I think sometimes when you're around your parents, you sort of become like a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And she feels very much like a kid
yeah.
when she's with her mom.
That's Although, a that's an older generation thing, because I'm not that way with my mother, but I understand what you're saying.
I'm not saying that everybody does.
I'm not like a kid.
I'm saying it's a psychological thing that does happen to some people. Not everybody, but some people.
Well, I guess I do.
In certain ways, you may not realize. Yeah. I'm not saying 100%.
I think I'm a kid in the sense that I'm like, Mommy, I want you to come sit with me. Like, I, like, become very, like, a clingy little, like, I want to cuddle with mommy.
Okay, that's something, but you wouldn't act that way with someone who is your peer or who is younger than you, right?
Nah, I don't know. That might be me as a person.
But still, it's something.
No, but I understand what you're saying. Like,
so I think that was a really nice, subtle thing to play.
Yeah.
Although, one thing I really wanted to know is sometimes they seem to imply that her daughter had a family, and sometimes they didn't. And that made me sad.
Yeah.
You know, like, we don't really know if she had grandkids that she never got to see, you know?
It also seemed like they had spent a lot of time apart.
Yeah, which implies to me that she did have a family.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that now that maybe her kids had moved out, they're able to see. I wish they expanded more on that.
Yeah.
Because it would have been very sad for me if Fleming had lived this sort of cloistered life, because she also felt like she couldn't tell anyone. Like, but at the
end, could have also just said her mother died.
No, I think she probably told people her mother died.
Yeah, but so I'm saying, like,
yeah. So I hope that Fleming had a life.
I hope. Hey,
the young Fleming fan casting fiction was writers also really out good. There.
Oh, she was cute.
Yeah. Fan fiction writers out there, I'm looking at the mic. Fan fiction writers out there,
mm-hmm.
Write us some Fleming fan fiction.
Do not write fan fiction about all those dogs that died.
Oh, God, how many dogs
really
must have there been?
Sad.
All of her pet dogs?
Yeah, she just kept getting the same dog over and over, and they would just die.
Well, yeah. Dogs have, like, a lifespan of, like, 10 years max.
Yes, we're just saying it's sad.
No, it's sad. She has photo albums of all of her dead dogs, and it's all the same kind of dog.
Well, she could have also got, like, a different dog, and no one would have, like...
She's trying to recreate... She's trying to make everything the same, because... She can't go. I mean, it's a beautiful movie about living your life. And I mean, I'm fascinated with stuff like this. Even if Harrison Ford wasn't in it, I would have seen this movie.
Oh, I like this movie. I think there are, like, plot holes that they clearly, like, couldn't address because then the end of the movie couldn't happen, which was, like, why didn't she just go see a doctor?
Because I think she was afraid of being found out.
Yeah, I
wouldn't go to a doctor after the FBI kidnapped me.
It's like, what if a shy person was a superhero and nobody told them to do anything about it? And, like, never went through the hero's journey.
So Bucky Barnes, where he's like, I'm just gonna live on this field? That's what he is now.
Not that kind of superhero. Not someone that had something done to them. Like, forcibly. Like, an accident. Like the Flash.
Oh, Barry Allen, shy, is genius.
So Harrison thought...
Just running around, just sounds shy, Barry Allen.
So Harrison thought that the...
Sorry, I'm just now thinking of shy Barry Allen. Because Barry Allen's the opposite of shy, so I'm just thinking of, like, the Flash being like, no, I'm okay, just, like, zooming off places. Anyways, go ahead.
Okay. So Harrison thought that the audience would like the everyday life, that this was that movie that was rooted in everyday life and not in high-tech sci-fi, but a little bit of magic.
You know what I love? I'm a bitch that loves magic, so maybe that's why I like this movie.
I think it's just a sort of beautiful story. It's got a great, you know, through line of life and death and living your life. And there, you know, as much as people want to live forever, this idea that everyone around you will die and you must live on is something that is explored in a lot of movies and books. And it's fascinating because it's sad and poetic and... It's always be careful what you wish for, right?
Yeah, it's like...
Vampires are always sad.
This is topical because the trailer came out today, but it's like that Queen song, Who Wants to Live Forever? Because it's like, you think you do, but who wants to live forever?
Yeah, no, that's the
Because then you won't do anything, because you're like, meh, whatever, I got forever.
I think it's about everyone you love dying and leaving you alone. Like all the dogs.
All the dogs,
guys.
Ah, the dogs. All right, do you have ponytails to rank?
Yes, okay, here we go.
I can't rank them. I mean, no, I didn't organize this at all.
What have you done to the audience? They're waiting for the ponytails.
Well, okay, so, like, I'll do my ponytail or my hair, my general hair theory instead.
Okay, start with that. That's good. I like that.
Because when we first, and this is all present time. This is not any flashbacks, because flashbacks are always like more of a period style hair. This is more like the 2015 hair. She starts with like low ponytails with just like a couple of victory rolls, very subtle. You can tell she's still curling her hair the same way she's been doing it for years, maybe brushing it out a little bit more. And then there's the one that I like a lot. Rachel, you're just laughing at me.
Yes, hard this to is hey, this. Favorite, hey, let her talk.
This is my favorite thing that has ever happened.
She meets Michael Huisman.
You need to now talk over her so the audience can listen.
Michael Huisman. She meets him. They start dating. She's got like a combo of vintage in the top, party on the back.
This is the hairdo you want to attempt on me, correct?
Yeah, it's like a fishtail braid with like 30s, 40s rolls.
Yes,
on
that is. I actually enjoyed that when he first comes into the library, right?
Yeah.
Yes, I like that.
And then I started noticing when she goes to
the library.
Is that the library?
No, it's when they're walking outside. I don't know if it starts in the library.
I think it's a braid on the side.
Yes, it's where the fishtail comes down on the side.
But when it comes in the library, she does have this thing on the side, which is very 40s and very cool. And then like her hair sort of ponytail.
No, yeah, the library is just a normal one. It's when they're. It's
but I do like
they've...
the side part thing. The side thing.
Yes.
Is cool.
Yeah, it's the two things in the.
I know what you mean. The sort of a loose braid.
Yes,
thing.
That fishtail on the side.
Oh, now I get the fishtail thing.
Mm-hmm. In the 60s flashback, she's got bangs.
Right.
Yeah. I liked those.
I have to say the period looks, particularly the 60s, because I felt like the cinematography was picking up kind of that 60s.
Warm.
Yeah, with the yellows and the blues.
You know,
very 60s.
It reminded me of when they did the flashbacks on Doctor Who. I don't know if you'll know what this is.
Yeah.
When Clara would go through all the different decades.
Very much so, yeah.
Like when she had her 60s hair, like that's what it reminded me of, was like when Clara Oswald was like in all the different eras.
Yeah. And my mother was in college in high school in the 60s, and so it just reminded me of a lot of pictures of my mom back then.
My mom's hair is too straight, which was good for the 60s, but
same.
Not good
my mom
us.
Had the bangs and the straight hair in the 60s because
my mom ironed her hair like in Hairspray.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
my mom has
hair straight. But then when she goes to the parents' house and is spending more time with him her hair's down. It's straighter. It's more modern because she's, like, assimilating into this world. It's interesting. That's my hair theory. Or the hair journey that she goes on. I don't know what it's like at the end. I didn't take a note of
that. It's side part.
Yeah.
Or it's not side part. It's the... What is it called? Where you, like, pin all your side and it's all off on the other side. I'm talking about
New Year's.
No, I think that's the end too.
Okay,
I think at the end it's the same.
Oh yeah, yeah, because that's her out hair. That's her going out hair.
Yeah, when she's like, I'm getting fancy. When
so they got married? Is that what we assume? Did they got married? No, who knows?
Who knows?
I do sort of love also when she and Harrison have that beautiful talk in the woods, where he's like, "Do it for Alice." He's like wants his son to be happy with the woman that he used to love. It's so beautiful.
And also like doesn't want his son's heart to be broken by the same woman that broke her heart.
Yeah. I mean, because he knows how it feels, but he loves it. Like that's something that you really see in the film as well, is there's a great relationship building between the whole family. Like you really believe that they're a loving family.
They have that.
He calls Kathy Baker baby a couple times, which is sweet.
They play that fun game.
Yeah. Oh, and that monologue at their anniversary party, he gets totally choked up. It's so emotional. I'm like, Harrison, which wife are you thinking about when you're doing this?
Hey, Harrison, what woman scorned you?
Well, I mean, I think the scorn thing, yeah, but no, but the monologue at the party when he's like, I love this woman. It's just, I mourn for this career path for Harrison Ford. I mourn it.
Yeah.
As much as I love the Blade Runner and Star Wars, and hopefully Indiana Jones is good, I mourn for this third act of his career.
Do you think he'll hit 80 and be like, okay, I'm done?
I don't know. He seems to love acting so much. I don't know if he will. His father would live to his 90s, so we could be seeing some...
Oh, y'all are going to have me forever if that's the case, because both my grandparents are... Old. or world.
Well, comedy writers tend to live into their 90s, so you got a good thing going there.
I'm going to be Don Rickles.
Most of them are Jewish, but that's okay. Don't stop you there.
I'm close enough.
That's right. You got the name.
Today, some guy did not believe me I was not Jewish. He goes, Rachel, it's Hebrew. Are you Jewish? I said, no. And then I wrote my last name down. He looked at me.
That should not have been your way of proving you weren't Jewish.
No, he, like, needed my email from work, and I wrote my last name down. He goes, Leishman? And I was like, it's Scottish. Promise you.
Yeah, that's like when, because I grew up on the Barbara Streisand Hello Dolly.
Babs!
Right? So I didn't understand that Dolly Levi wasn't Jewish until I went to college and was a theater major. And I was talking with someone, and I was like, Levi, she's Jewish. She's a Yenta. And they were like, no, Lauren, she's Scottish.
Yeah, no, Lauren, she's just played by Barbara Streisand.
And they're like, Barbara Streisand playing her is a terrible miscasting of Dolly. And I was like, oh. And so when Bette Midler was cast, I wrote on, I think on Twitter, I wrote, I'm so excited to finally see Hello Dolly in the original Jewish.
Oh, brother.
Did you want to talk about the Trivial Pursuit game?
Yes, let's talk about that. I love that that was really sort of a great sort of example of how old she is.
Yeah, that was, they play Trivial Pursuit, and she just very casually gets every single answer right because she just remembers things. Because
she lived it.
Yeah.
She lived through it all. I thought it was cute.
And Harrison Ford has never been, undefeated at Trivial Pursuit.
And he was, because he's probably the oldest there.
Yeah. He was pissed.
Yeah.
He was like, what do you mean this bitch beat me?
Yeah, that's exactly what his subconscious brain was thinking.
How dare.
I think that was his subtext.
Yeah. That's what I think, like, in his Meisner acting notebook, Harrison Ford wrote, how dare.
You think he'd be a Meisner guy? I was thinking Strasburg.
I think Harrison Ford is saying, what's the line? Got it. Blah, blah,
blah, blah. Yeah, that was sarcastic. Repeat. What else we got? Oh, should I read some of the reviews? It got mixed reviews.
How dare.
Although they enjoyed performances of Blake Lively and Harrison Ford received very positive reviews.
Oh, excellent.
Some cited it as some of his best work in recent years. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Matt Zoller from RobertEbert.com wrote, then Harrison Ford and Kathy Baker show up as Alice's parents, William and Kathy Jones, who've been married for 40 years. Suddenly, the age of Adeline locks into just the right tone and rarely steps wrong. That's how I felt the first time, where I was like, I wish the end of the movie was the whole movie. I enjoyed it much more when I watched it. Even though I really enjoyed the movie, I think this could have been an even better movie if it was just about that relationship. You should see her face when you talk about her, she tells him. This is Kathy Baker. We have seen his face. It's devastating. Ford's voice, always deep, lowered an octave by age and one more by William's longing, is even more powerful. This is Ford's best performance since The Fugitive, maybe since Witness.
Listen, y'all. I like that everyone is so fucking hung up on Witness. That is my favorite thing about any era. Since Witness has been released.
Well, listen, you know,
it's a fine movie, but everyone is like,
we talked about this when we did Witness. I think that he's good in it, but I think that one of the big reasons he got this Oscar nomination for it is because they were so shocked. Yeah. They were like, wait, oh, he can act? Oh, wait. Same thing happened to Candace Bergen. She did comedy, and she was so amazing. Her first big comedy movie, she got nominated for an Oscar.
I like, every time I describe Witness to someone, I just describe the insanity that is that corn scene.
You love it.
Because I think it is the funniest thing I've ever seen in a movie. Have I ever done this to you?
No.
In Witness.
It's been a long time since I've seen Witness.
In Witness, the end of that movie when they're all trying to kill that kid.
Uh-huh.
They're in, like, you didn't watch Quiet Place. They're in, like, a corn thing for our listeners, like, in the Quiet Place that the kids are in. Like, so it's, like, those metal tin things. That, like, has the corn in it. I don't know what they're called. Like, on a farm where you would keep your corn.
Okay.
So they're in there, and they're all screaming at one point. So they get out of the corn. They're all covered in corn, and they're just all screaming at the same time. And Harrison Ford's like, ah, ah, and then the kids, and everyone's just yelling at each other. And it is insane, because it clearly was, like, the script had to have said, and everyone screamed and like had no direction. Because
that's how they distract the gunman.
But it's was like
important scene.
It's insanity. Well, no, I know.
Everyone go listen to the Witness episode. We've already talked about this. Okay. The New York Times. The filmmakers try to insist that time weighs heavily on Adeline, but there's little in the script that suggests that the years have left her with much more than an expansive wardrobe.
Rude.
Actually, I have this great review, and now, the page got cut off, and I don't know who said it, but they said, Ford in particular does some of his finest, most restrained, yet passionate acting in quite some time. His notices were great in this. Again, I mourn for the loss of the third act of Harrison Ford's life.
Listen, he had to kill off Han Solo. Then he had to go and, like, make Rick all sad. And now he has to go kill off Indy, and then maybe he'll come back.
Okay, maybe. His 80s and 90s, I still have hope. Okay. Pop Matters. Again, this is not really a website or, you know, newspaper that we're all familiar with, but again, really positive stuff here. Here, William becomes a measure of what might be expanded. In part, this has to do with Ford's completely lovely performance. But it also has to do with his face as such, weathered and vast, quirky and revealing, but also elusive. Ford's face reminds you of why you like movies, why big screens are fantastic opportunities, and why you're hoping that the new Star Wars is even half as good.
Aww. His face reminds you of why you like movies.
I was like, Rachel's going to appreciate that, so I had to include that.
His face reminds you why you like movies.
This movie grossed $65.7 million worldwide, and it had a budget of $25 million.
Very interesting. More than I thought it would have made.
Yeah, no. It did not bad. We're going to talk about this more when we do Solo, but a lot of people, we've actually seen people play Harrison Ford from an infant to 93.
Who played him when he was 93?
George Hall on the Young Indiana Jones Chronicles.
Oh, right.
Unfortunately, he's been cut from all of the releases of it. So unless you go on YouTube and watch it from an old VHS, 93-year-old Indy is gone.
Ugh. Whatever will we do?
93-year-old Indy also had a daughter. That's another story.
Well, he has a son, if you watch.
Yeah, so, hey, listen, things can change.
Hey, man, he could have kids everywhere.
Yeah, fair. I know my brother's game. It's my brother's birthday, so I feel like I should tell this story on this podcast. It won't come out on his birthday because it's today, which is May 15th. But I feel like I should need to tell the story. So my brother for his wedding wanted to wear a red rose on his lapel.
Yes, you told us.
Yes, and they told him no. So first of all, though, he wanted it because he goes, oh, it's like James Bond. I know my brother's game. It's not just because of James Bond. It's because of Indiana Jones.
Oh, yeah.
So I, like, was texting people today, and they were like, no, it's because of Bond. And I'm like, please, I know my brother. And they're like, oh, yeah. And I, like, would send the picture of Indy. They're like, oh. I'm like, because my brother's wanted to be Indiana Jones for as long as I can remember. He got the whole outfit with the whip that used to, like, he's still, I'm 90% sure, in his house, has his Indiana Jones hat, like, sitting up so he can grab it whenever he goes out. Like, I don't know why he does that. He did it in his old bedroom. Like, it would, like, sit on the, like, the bedpost. So, like, if he needed it, he could just grab his Indiana Jones hat. Yeah, like, if I went into his room and started doing that, he'd grab it and, like, grab his whip. Like, he'd be, like, ready to go. And so, I, like, it was just funny because today I called his bluff because everyone was like, it's because of James Bond. I'm like, while it probably is, I really know it's because Indiana Jones, because I didn't know his jacket was white until today. And I went, well, because Sean Connery wears a white suit tucked with the red.
It's a tribute to Sean Connery in a Temple of Doom.
Yes, but he, as soon as I found out that suit jacket was white, I went, I know his game. And they were like, why? I was like, because that is, like, if it was a black with a red, it would be very just Bond. But because it's the white with the red, I'm like, he wants it because it's both.
I didn't know that it was Bond for years. Actually, I don't think I knew it was Bond until we did this podcast.
Oh, I grew up with Bond.
Like, Roger Moore was my Bond.
We used to watch every Thanksgiving because for whatever reason, they would play James Bond on, like, TNT on Thanksgiving, like a marathon of the Bond movies. So every year my brother and I would sit and we would watch Bond movies.
All right. So is there anything that we have not talked about with this film?
I found, is this the braid you were thinking about?
No, but that's beautiful too. It's when he drops off the books and she's...
Leah, do my hair like that.
She has like, her hair is pulled back and then she has these sort of like trails that pull off on the sides. They're like two trails. That's like a bunch of...
It feels like she just spends all of her spare time just learning different hairstyles and watching tutorials, which I also do, so I find it very relatable.
I mean, one, she wants to look different, right?
Yeah.
Two, she has a lot of free time on her hands.
I am just very glad that I am now the Blake Lively. For now that I've changed my hair to being blonde, every time there's like a pairing of like two girls, one ends up being Leah and one ends up being me, because there's always a brunette and a blonde.
I am a brunette.
Nice.
And I'm never changing my hair.
Yeah, good. And my hair is blonde forever. Now. So, I mean, I am a brunette. I just tie it.
I'm a little upset that Megan Mullally is now a redhead, even though she looks great.
Oh, yeah.
There are so few brunettes. At least Karen's still a brunette.
Yeah, they gave her a wig.
Yeah.
I've been on a Gossip Girl kick, and so now, like, growing up, I always liked Serena better than I liked Blair, but I had brown hair, so I was like, I guess I'm Blair. And so now, though, I'm like, oh my god, I'm Serena. Like, I got so excited.
You'll never know if you go gray.
Nope, I'll just keep dyeing it blonde.
That's what you do.
I will forever be the Blake Lively. Except she's 5'10". We looked it up. When I was watching this movie, I thought,
gorgeous.
Married by Ryan Reynolds.
Can wear anything. Like, that's why she works so well in this movie, is that she's can pull off any outfit.
And this character is supposed to be this stunning, you know, of the era movie star.
Yeah.
So that you believe that she was from that time period.
Yeah, well, like, for whatever reason, I thought she was not that tall, which I should have known from Gossip Girl, but I, like, thought she was only, like, 5'4". So we Google it, and Leah goes, she's 5'10". I was like, right.
She's statuesque. She's...
Well, because I think it's because Leighton Meester isn't tall.
But look at, like, Sister of a Traveling Pan. She's playing, like, the athlete of the group. She's like,
but I think I thought of it, like, because Leighton Meester is...
Gossip Girl. They can put her on an apple cart.
Yeah, Leighton Meester's, like,
5'5". An apple cart, an apple crate.
Yeah.
So I think of it like, well, they didn't look that different because Leighton Meester's not much taller than
I am. I'm so tired. I'm sorry. It's called an apple box.
Yes.
Thank you. Yes. I know how movies work.
Anyways, I didn't think she was that tall, but I should have known she was that tall because I think Penn Badgley's not short. And neither is Chase Crawford. Neither is Sebastian Stan. I should have known, but in my brain, I'm like, she's short. Ryan Reynolds isn't short.
TV stars tend to be short, so that makes sense that you would think that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was once told that I was the perfect height for television. I was like,
I am cool.
Definitely perfect height.
Give me my sitcom.
Yeah.
All right, so any last looks to give another television TV term?
No, I just like this. Watch this movie. People have said it's dumb. Don't believe them.
Yes, don't believe them. It is a...
It's so sweet.
Lose yourself to a fairy tale.
Yes.
With some grounded realism and great acting from Harrison Ford.
It's great.
Oh, and great clothes and great hair.
Yeah.
Which is more important,
and
really.
What a goatee.
It works. It works for the role.
I maybe don't like Michael Huysmans' performance as much, but it's fine. Like,
well, the problem is, again, is that I'm so much more invested in the relationship with William and her.
Yeah.
It just overpowers it. It's not
his
fault. What
if the end of this movie was that they were like, gonna run off together? I'd be like, what?
Plot twist. You'd be like, you were with an age-appropriate woman for like five minutes. You tried.
Technically, Blake Lively was the right age, but just not physically.
Yes. Yeah.
In the movie.
She was older. She would have been a cougar.
She's definitely a cougar in this film.
Blake Lively is the prettiest cougar I ever saw. And on that, hey, Lauren.
Yes, so you can find us on social media at the four. What are you doing?
I was just laughing because I got dead silent. I went, hey Lauren.
Yeah, whenever it gets dead silent, you just go, Lauren, say something. Okay, so you can find us at thefordcastpodcast.com. We are on social media at the Fordcast Podcast on Facebook, Tumblr, and Instagram, and then on Twitter at the Fordcast PC.
Yep.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Lauren Milberger.
You can follow me on Twitter at Rachel Leishman and on Instagram at Rachel_Leishman.
If you want to enter our contest, which all you have to do is put in a number every episode, and then you can be put in a lottery to win some of these amazing Harrison Ford and Carrie Fisher prize packs. So there's really like super easy ways to enter. No answering trivia questions, no remembering anything. And the number today is 18.
What a number.
We are also sponsored by Haas Urban. HaasUrban.com. wonderful products. I enjoy the lip glide, the sangria lip glide. I'm actually drinking sangria, so I can't say it. The sangria lip glide. What do you enjoy, Rachel?
I love Headshot. It makes my skin silky and smooth.
Mm-hmm. It's all natural products. You can get it at HaasUrban.com and use the code FORD, F-O-R-D.
Hell yeah.
Next is a little movie you may have heard of. What's our next movie, Rachel?
Bum, 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 bum.
The movie that started it all.
The
podcast.
The Force Awakens.
The podcast. Uh-oh. I meant the podcast. Oh my God, Rachel.
I was like, yeah, the last movie the in podcast. The Star Wars franchise that Harrison Ford is
in. I mean, this got me back in the Star Wars fandom. That's also, you know. And then we met. Story short. So yes, so in 2 weeks, we will be talking about Star Wars The Force Awakens, finally. Rachel just did sort of a fist bumpy thing.
Yeah, I did a fist pump, but then I realized my wrist wasn't, like, straight, so I just, like, kind of...
Yeah, so I was trying to describe it, but I described it very poorly. Thank you for being our guest.
Thank you. Oh my God, Solo is next week.
God, I gotta get a ticket. I don't have a ticket to Solo.
They always add screenings, like, the week of, anyway. You'll be fine.
Well, she's going, and then she's gonna go again with me.
Movie passes. Being weird now.
Can you use MoviePass with movies the week it comes out?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, that's
but
awesome.
You can't do repeat viewings of films.
That anymore. I did hear. That was because after Infinity War, right? People were just...
No, they did it during Infinity War. So I went to see it and I was pissed.
Yeah, that was very smart. All right.
Yeah. Yes. They knew I saw Itanya 7 times on MoviePass and they said, you've abused it.
So really, we all have Rachel to blame. Yeah. For the reason that MoviePass no longer works.
Because they're all in trouble because of what you did.
Because I saw Itanya.
Don't want to see that dumb mustache.
How dare you? You fucking that mustache.
All right. On that note.
That's a great note.
Bye.
Goodbye.